I know that the older I get, the slower I get. No comment. I started over a year ago looking at the scripture from Ezekiel that I'll be preaching from this morning, Ezekiel chapter 37. And every time I sat down to work on preparing a sermon on this scripture, I couldn't figure out what to do with it. There was always a multitude of possibilities that we could expound upon, you know, and I just didn't know how to begin. I told Daniel that I was going to preach on the Valley of Dry Bones this week. I said, I've been going by the lectionary, but I feel led to finish up that sermon I've been working on for over a year. And I wrote the sermon, and I still couldn't figure out what to call it. I couldn't put a name on it. So we're going to try Faith is the Victory. Because without faith, there is no victory. Amen? Has the Lord ever called you to do some particular something for Him? Maybe you thought, well, okay, I'll do it. I'll trust in You because You are God, You are sovereign. And I'll do it, but I just really don't see any possible good that it would do for me to do that. You may even have the attitude or think that I tried that back in 1980 or 1990 and it didn't work then. What makes you think it's going to work now in 2015? Well, today in our scripture, we find the prophet Ezekiel thinking something very similar to those thoughts. Ezekiel's a prophet. He's been prophesying to the children of Israel for 30-odd years. And nothing's changed. If anything, they got more rebellious and meaner and done more deceitful things and were deeper into idolatry. But here the Lord is telling Ezekiel to prophesy to a bunch of bones. And he sure enough is having a problem dealing with that. Because he cannot wrap his mind around the idea that if he's prophesying to living human beings and they won't accept God, what good's it going to do to prophesy to a bunch of bones out in the boneyard? Something to think about. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. And as we read from the Word of God about Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, let's think about these things. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. And He said to me, mortal, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord, You know. And then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and cause flesh to come upon you, and to cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There was a businessman that drug himself home from work one evening, and he was more tired than his poor little old wife had ever seen him. He come dragging into the house, and he flopped down in his recliner. And she says, "Oh, darling, what is wrong? You're so tired. I've never seen you this exhausted before. You must have had an awful day." He says, "Oh, honey, it was terrible." He says, "It was the most awful day I have ever experienced." He says, "The computer broke down, and we all had to do our own thinking." In our scripture today, Ezekiel was having to do his own thinking. And it was probably not out of the ordinary for him to think for himself. But if you're having a conversation with God, you might want to pay some particular attention to what you're going to say before you say it. I know a lot of times I open my mouth when I shouldn't. All right, Daniel, I'm warning you. Every time he says something, I say something, he agrees with you. He's got this big old grin. We all have said things that we should not say and done things that we should not do. And I imagine in Ezekiel's conversation with the Lord, he's going to have to kind of weigh what he says, because if he makes anybody angry, it's sure that he won't make God angry. So he's having to give some serious thought to his responses before he opens his mouth and just lets it fly. Ezekiel 37 is probably, to me, one of the most exciting chapters in the entire Old Testament. It's particularly exciting because many believe that its message is relating to the second coming of Christ. We've talked about the wise men and everybody during Advent waiting for the first coming. And there's many people that feel like that Ezekiel 37 is talking about the second coming. It's exciting because every word in this chapter radiates hope. It radiates hope to the Israelites who were in Babylonian captivity. It gives them a hope for deliverance. It gives them hope because this nation has been divided and torn, and they have the hope that once again Israel can be united, one nation under Jehovah God. It offers hope today to us who are dead in our trespasses and our sins. It holds out hope for eternal life for each of us. And finally, it offers hope to the believer who is growing tired and weary under just the burden of everyday life. The trials and the tribulations and the problems that we have just getting from today to tomorrow, it's frustrating. But through the promises of hope that are in Ezekiel 37, we can face tomorrow. Our life may be uncertain, but through the faith and trust that we have in Jesus Christ, we can face tomorrow. Ezekiel had been charged with a task of warning the Israelite people. For 30 years he had been warning them about their idolatry, about their detestable acts, about all of the things that they were doing that were contrary to the will of God. And suddenly he finds himself in this vision. He's in a valley full of dry bones. Who could he warn here? These people are dead. It's a bunch of bones. There wasn't enough left on those bones to even entice the neighborhood dog in for a bone. I mean, this was some serious dry bones. And we find ourselves today, a lot of times, in the same position that Ezekiel was in as we work for God today. A lot of us have attended church our entire life. I grew up in church. Many of you grew up in church. We raised our children in church. We taught Sunday school. We helped with Vacation Bible School. We've sang in the choir. We visited the sick. We fed the hungry. Everything that you could possibly think of for a Christian to do, we've done it. Only to find that so many times we were rejected. The message of hope that we were trying to give to people was falling on deaf ears. But we look at Ezekiel here. Our message may be falling on deaf ears. But here we see Ezekiel having to prophesy to some folks that was dead, dry bones that didn't even have any ears. But that didn't bother Ezekiel, the fact that these bones didn't have ears. He took the Lord at face value. Father, if you say for me to get out and prophesy to these bones, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And he did. He wasn't worried about what he was doing being scoffed at. He wasn't worried that somebody would turn their nose up at him because of the stand that he was taking. But he was ready to venture out. He was totally abandoning himself before Jesus Christ. I like to think about a verse of scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has a purpose for every one of us today. He had a purpose for Ezekiel in the middle of that valley full of dry bones. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for you. Every one of us, he has a purpose for. Our circumstances are no barrier to the fulfillment of the purpose that God has for us. Why? Because the scripture tells us that all things, every single solitary thing, works together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now Ezekiel looked at this valley that was full of many, 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 many bones, and they were very, very dry. And it seemed hopeless. How many times in your life have you been faced with a situation that seemed totally hopeless? Sound familiar? Do your circumstances seem hopeless? You know, we forget so quickly that nothing is impossible with Jesus Christ. Amen. Was Ezekiel's seemingly hopeless situation, was it impossible for God? know. In verse 3, the Lord asked Ezekiel, he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Oh Lord, you know. Lord, you know the answer. You know all things. Ezekiel's answer reflected his total, complete abandonment to God. No life is so richly blessed as when we lay our all, everything, on the altar before God. When we abandon ourselves and our pride and our prejudices and say, Lord, here I am. I'm like one of those dry bones, Lord. But here I am. Take me and use me. Then we can feel the comforting power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus experienced this in Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, Not my will, but thy will be done. He displayed an attitude that we should all have in our lives. After all, Jesus is our supreme example. Not my will, Father, but your will be done, was Jesus' prayer. A lot of times we step back and we say, well, you know, I really want God's will to be done, but I want it to be done through somebody else. I don't really want to rock the boat. I'm not qualified to do that. I felt that way whenever I felt the call into the ministry. I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not equipped to do that. But God equips us. He qualifies us. He anoints us. And that's the same thing that was happening right here with Ezekiel. Ezekiel was having to step out in faith. When we step out in faith and we obey God, He allows His light. We've all talked about the light of Christ. But He allows this light to shine on our path to show us where to take the next step for Him. And just like with Ezekiel, the Lord doesn't give us a panoramic view of everything that's going to happen. I don't think our little brains could stand it if we knew today what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen on down the road. But He gives us just enough light in our life to light our path so that we can take one step at a time for Him. Has He taken you through a valley? Sure He has. He's taken every one of us through a valley. But He has shined just enough light on us to lead us into the valley and through the valley. He was right there with us the whole time. You know, I look at Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's situation was a lot like Noah's. Think of that children's song. The Lord said to Noah, build me an arky, arky, arky. Y'all don't want me to sing that song. It's going to rainy, rainy, rainy. And Noah looks around and he says, okay, Lord. You give me the blueprint to build you an ark. But what's rain? He had never heard of rain. It had never rained up until this point of time. And Ezekiel had been prophesying for over 30 years to these people. And he continued to prophesy. He turned to those old dry bones and he says, the bones now hear. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is the source and the foundation of all life. You know, back in Genesis, when God created man, He knew that we would sin before He ever made us. You know, God sure is a loving God. Because if I was God, and I was creating somebody, and I knew that they were going to mess up, as bad as I have messed up in my life and as bad as you've probably messed up in yours, you think I'd have created you? It wouldn't have happened. So God loves us, folks. We are His chosen people. God said that I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Anything that we accomplish for God today must be done through His power. Ezekiel was a good preacher. Billy Graham was a good preacher. David Jeremiah is a good preacher. But they can't bring life. Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can bring life into us today. Amen. And only through that power, through that anointing, can we have life. We can study the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to take us through this restoration process step by step, where our bones can be reunited together. We can be covered with skin and flesh and blood, but we're still dead as a doornail unless we allow the Holy Spirit, the breath of Christ, to breathe on us. After all of these bones had been assembled and was in their proper place, they still could not function until God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind and let the wind breathe the breath of life into these bones. God is here today, folks, to breathe the breath of life into every one of us. We all have areas in our life of dry bones. We have things that we need to lay here at the altar. But the Holy Spirit is here today to breathe that breath, that restoration breath, that restoring breath, that anointing breath. He's here today to breathe it upon each of us. I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing when I was a kid in church. His banner over us is love. Our sword is the Word of God. We tread the road where saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith, they like a whirlwind's breath swept o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining seal. Faith is the victory today. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Are you an overcomer today? Are you still out there in a boneyard? We can be victorious. We can be like Ezekiel. We can be like Noah and many of the other prophets of old. We have to step out in faith. We have to breathe that breath of life in order to be an overcomer. You can have victory today in your life. Victory through faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful because of the breath that can be breathed into our dead, dried, withered souls. And you can restore us. And we can become a new creation in you. And we're so thankful for this, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl that is here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they will lay aside all of that pride, everything that would come between them and you, and that they would allow the breath of the Holy Spirit to flow through them as we repent of our sins and we come humbly before you. Father, these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.